Seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. With the days becoming warmer, I've enjoyed, until this weekend when they've become very hot, I have enjoyed having our windows open and the front screen door open as well, allowing fresh air into the house. An open door or a screen door also invites people to stop by, including youth in our neighborhood and others who are traveling by. Recently, we had two young girls stop at our door looking for support for fundraising for their upcoming trip to Washington, D.C. and New York City. As we visited, I asked them what they were most looking forward to seeing on their trip. I expected answers like Times Square in New York City or the nation's capital in Washington, D.C. But I was delighted and surprised to hear one of the girls say she was most looking forward to seeing Arlington Cemetery, and specifically the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. It brought back memories for me of powerful impressions that were made when I went to Arlington Cemetery when I was in high school, seeing that monument for myself and the changing of the guard. You recall that there is a guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, every single day of the year. It is a powerful monument reminding us of those unknown named folks who have served in the military and given the ultimate sacrifice of their lives. On this Memorial Day weekend, we do name in our prayers those whom we know to currently be serving, members of the congregation or members related to families in this congregation. But there will be names you will lift up in your prayers as well, some of them spoken, some of them known only to you. And especially we will remember today those who have given that ultimate sacrifice. Many of them are known and many are unknown. I remember that along with watching the changing of the guard, I was moved by the saying that is inside of the marble on the west side, the west panel of the monument. It reads, "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." Sacrifice is easily associated with the calling to the military life. And sacrifice is at the heart of the beloved verse that we have heard today from John 3:16. You know these words well. Join with me again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." The verse encompasses the fullness of God's self. God, creator of the world, Son, Redeemer, who sacrificed himself for all, and Holy Spirit, which is both love incarnate and giver of life itself and life eternal. We participate in the fullness of God's self because we are drawn into relationship with this God who is not far off, but who is as near to us as a loving Father. Recall the reading from Romans today. Please join with those verses on the screen. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." The reading from Romans has lifted up for us a word that is actually similar to a child calling their father daddy. The word for daddy is the word Abba. Now, I must admit that being one who enjoys some 1970s music, when I hear that word Abba, I immediately go to this singing group. Maybe some of you do as well. And I want to break into my own rendition of Dancing Queen, but I will not do that for you today, though I think I do a marvelous job of it. Certainly, this is not the Abba that is being referred to in Romans. When God loves the world, the cosmos, like we know so well in John 3:16. The reading from Romans grounds us to remember that this same God of the universe is capable of loving you and me, just as a daddy loves their little one. The fullness of God is that each of us are beloved children of God, and we are known. We can cry out, Abba, Father, and trust that we will be heard because God chooses to be in relationship with us alongside the whole world. Perhaps this is why the story of Nicodemus in John's Gospel today easily draws us into a place where the world and our own heart's longings can meet, where faith in Christ is more than just confession and practice and ritual, but rather it is about a dynamic fullness of God at work in your life. You recall that Nicodemus visits Jesus at night. A teacher of the law, a Pharisee, the nighttime serves as a protector to the powers that would be alarmed to see Jesus and Nicodemus visiting, interacting together. The question on Nicodemus's heart is about intellect and understanding. But what Jesus offers Nicodemus is about faith and about what happens in our hearts. Jesus attempts to expand for Nicodemus that to keep God only to a set of religious orders and rules limits the fullness of who God has come to be for him. Jesus uses language like rebirth and the Spirit's work. And finally, that beautiful, all-encompassing verse that we know as John 3:16, but was simply spoken to Nicodemus with promise, opens up for this man of the law the extent of God's grace, of God's love, redemption, and new life. In other words, Nicodemus is known by God, not for his knowledge and his practice of the law, but is known by God's own loving self, whom he meets in Christ and will encounter again and again through the Holy Spirit. It's a lot for Nicodemus to wrap his mind around in that evening conversation. And we will wonder what will happen when it is again that Nicodemus appears in the story of Jesus' life, this time at the point of his death. We discover Nicodemus appears at the grave of Jesus to anoint his body with oil and with incense and with myrrh. We discover that the Spirit has actually been at work since that midnight conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus may still be puzzled as to what he did not know, but he was clearly beginning to understand that in the midst of the unknown, there is one who truly knows us. Life is filled with questions that puzzle us. And we, like Nicodemus, would love to have answers that neatly complete the picture. I would imagine if I distributed cards today and asked you to write down one question you have for God, it would be easy to think of one of those questions, whether it is, why is there senseless violence or destruction or pain or suffering in the world, to questions that lie deep within your hearts, and you wonder how God could possibly answer them. Like Nicodemus, it is often in the darkness when we approach God with our questions. But just as Jesus was drawing Nicodemus into the fullness of God's promises, so too those promises are given to you and to me. We are loved. We will not perish, but live. We have been adopted through the Holy Spirit to be sons and daughters of God. We are known. Sometimes it is that simple gift of truly trusting and believing that we are fully known by God that can help the puzzling nature of life give us a sense of peace in that which is unknown. I won't ask for a show of hands or make you stand up at this point, but I'm guessing that there are some of you who have been fans or are currently great readers of science fiction books or enjoy movies or television series. I wouldn't call myself a Trekkie, but I will admit to being a huge fan at one time of Star Trek The Next Generation and the subsequent series Star Trek Voyager. One of the crew members on the Star Trek Voyager was an interesting character whose name was Seven of Nine. Now, if you are a Trekkie, you know that the Borg, a species of a race of clones, is one that is woven throughout the series. They are a collective of drones and of clones that live in hives that assimilate other races into which they encounter. Their power is supposedly so overwhelming that their motto is, "Resistance is futile." And anyone who encounters them is informed that they will be assimilated, no longer distinct, but just a member of the collective. Seven of Nine had been a human, a little girl with a name and a family, but once assimilated, she was just a number, Seven of Nine. In the course of the Star Trek Voyager series, she had been freed from the collective and entrusted as a member of the Voyager crew, and it meant she had to discover her identity and her uniqueness once again. Oftentimes, it was the crew of the ship that helped her understand her unique voice, her gifts, her talents, helped draw her out, and who offered her compassion. I wonder if there are times when you feel like Seven of Nine, assimilated into a world that doesn't fully know you or appreciate you. You may have even felt like you were sucked into a role or a position that wasn't true to who you were, and that resistance was futile. Maybe you have felt lost among the masses, maybe even a bit insignificant, wondering if there was anyone or anything that could help draw you out as distinct and unique. Or maybe it is a life change, a loss, or some unexpected turn that has you wondering about your identity, who you are, your place in this world. The gift of faith, being adopted into the family of God through our baptism, through the name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is that we are not one of thousands, but we are known, named, and claimed. Known and drawn into relationship with the God who chooses to be in relationship with us. When we cry out, "Abba, Father," God has made a promise to us to be our Redeemer in life, death, and in a life to come. And that relationship God has established with you and me means we are empowered, sent out to share that good news with a world who is longing to be heard and known and find their unique place. For they too are a part of this family of God. John 3:17 is often forgotten when we hear those familiar verses that prior to this are known so well. But listen again to the intent of God sending his Son. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God is bigger than any problem you are facing. God has come for you. Has sacrificed his very life, his very wholeness and self for you, to save you, to love you, to free you. God knows you, has taken you by the hand, and will never let you go. Amen.